Lord gave me something I want to share with you. Some people have a sad attitude towards the Word. They think they have to work to get hold of the Word, to have what the Word says. In other words, they have to work at it. You know, they think, well, I've got to get that revelation that Pastor's talking about. You're struggling trying to take hold of something. You're having a struggle with it to get hold of what the Word says. No. You don't have to do that. You've already got what the Word says. You just have to accept it by faith, just like salvation. You've already got it. You see, you know, if you're waiting to see something, that's not faith. You take hold of, I take hold of my salvation because the Word told me what to do. I did it, and I have it. Jesus came and took up residence in me. Rejoice in what the Word says is yours. Let me read something to you. This is, Dr. Jacobs was telling me about this. This is Colossians 1, and we're going to start down in verse 12. Whatever comes, thank the Father who has qualified us to share the lot of the saints in the light. Rescuing us from the power of darkness and transferring us to the realm of His beloved Son. Now get this. In whom we enjoy our redemption. Let me ask you, are you rejoicing and enjoying your redemption now? Ask yourself that. Am I enjoying my salvation? Am I enjoying the privileges and the benefits that are provided to me? Ask yourself that, and if you find yourself saying, you know, I don't think I'm enjoying this as nearly as much as I'm supposed to be. Maybe you need to go talk to the Lord about it. Just step out in faith and start praising. You know, this is one of those things you don't have to pay for to go and do. You know, when we first got married, I'd want to go to a furniture store and go in and look at the furniture. And Lydia says, "But we can't afford it." I said, "It doesn't cost to look." I was trying to get an image. I want to go see what would I like in my house. Anyway. I want to start something this morning. We're going to begin a new series. And this doesn't apply to just one area. I'm focusing on it in one area, but it can apply across the board in your life. And that is how to keep your healing. You know, there are things that may be coming, and we need to take hold of the Word now. Like Pastor Lydia says, our dependence. We never told anybody anything. That's manipulation, and I've seen people do that. When we first got here, I went over to Richard. Where's Richard? You moved. You were supposed to be sitting. I went over to Richard's house, there was some guy that was dropping some real heavy hints He needed a vehicle, and he looked to Richard kind of like his sugar daddy, and he was dropping hints that, you know, he should give him his vehicle. And I told him, I said, no, that's manipulation. That's not faith at all. Period. You know, when people come around, and there's an individual right now that we have been dealing with that has been calls Amanda numerous, or calls, maybe texts, and is dropping hints real heavy that, you know, she wants to come back here to minister. Well, you know, if the Lord didn't tell me you need to be here, then you're not coming back. So I just told Amanda, I said, well, just tell her my schedule's full. Calendar's full. You know, we're not trying to manipulate, because that's not faith. God's not in that. I want to be able to see God move, because when I see him move in one thing, I know that he can move in other areas too. And I want my dependence there. So we're going to start this morning and on how to keep your healing. Brother Hagin would talk to us as students about healing from different standpoints. He would talk to us about healing from, well, let me say it this way. He was part of the healing revival back in the late 50s, 60s, 70s. And that began at the close of World War II. Lord told he was praying about some things. He wanted to see more of the power gifts in operation. And he was praying about it, and the Lord spoke to him and said, at the close of World War II, there will come a healing move across the nation. Yeah. Healing revival. And he saw the way that a lot of these ministers, and there were a bunch of them, there were a lot. You know, we hear about John Branham, Oral Roberts, you know, some of those people like that, the big names. But when we got to school, they gave us a book on the different ministries, the healing ministries, and the book is about like that. Thick book. So there was a lot of them. And he was watching the way these different ministers back then would do things and the results that they got. Okay? So he's standing back watching this, and he would say many of these ministers could get a lot of people healed. But when they went back to do a follow-up, you know, to see were you healed? Are you still healed? Right. You know, they would send out a survey, and so when they did the survey, they found that a high percentage of the people that were healed in the meeting that left healed are no longer healed. Right. Now I know there's people thinking, well, you know, if God healed them, then we'll get to that. Just hang on. But they would lose their healing. So he chose to come at it in a different direction. He said, doing it this way, he didn't get as many people healed, but his results were better. They would stay healed. And that's what we want. I don't want people to go away feeling, woo, glory to God, but then they lose it. Okay? So we're going to begin this morning to lay some foundation for this. And, you know, some people, how can I say this? Some people treat the things that we say lightly. We can't carry you on our faith all the time. Brother Hagin would tell us that. You know, you can get them healed, but they have to stay healed by their faith. And you know, like one woman I heard, she said, "You can't, you know, in the middle of the night, if I'm not around, you're going to have to do something by yourself." You know, I'll be glad to come and pray for you if I'm in town. We've done that. But, you know, if we're not in town. Moving right along. Now, for you to have a foundation, you have to believe something. Okay? You know, we see out here behind the church, they have added to that addition. And I would watch them. They would come in and they would bring in backhoes and dig out the dirt and pour a foundation, pour a basement usually, pour concrete. And then on top of the concrete, once it dried, then they would start building. So you need a foundation that's solid, something that will stand the test. And that's what we want to put into you this morning, or begin. You know, you can believe what people say about healing. Pay attention here. I want you to get this. You can believe what people say about healing, what they think, what they believe, what their auntie and their grandma believed. Let me tell you, when you get over into the relatives, I'm just giving you some warning. It can get really hot very fast. Because I've seen it. I was in a class, and we were talking about one of the Pentecostal doctrines of that denomination. And the doctrine said healing is in the redemption. It was paid for on the cross by the Lord Jesus and His blood. That's the doctrine. But one guy, his father died of cancer. And they were believing that he would be healed and blah, 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 but he died. That was the will of God. And I'm telling you, it was a large class, but when he started talking experience, when he started talking about relatives, things got really hot fast. And I don't mean the class was hot. I mean the attitude that was in the class. Whew. You can believe what a church denomination believes, their doctrine, what they teach. Or now here's a biggie. And this is one that you will face when you talk to people. Their experiences. You can believe that, or you can believe what the God that never lies has to say, what the eternal Word says, what the Word that never changes says. You see, people's experiences can go like this. What they believe can go like this because of things that are happening around. You can believe what somebody believes, but when you try to run that through the fire, it's going to evaporate just like that. So it's up to you. What are you going to believe? My suggestion to you is take this and say, poo on you, and I'm going to stick with this. Okay? Matthew, turn with me to Matthew. Turn to three different places. Matthew 8, 17. Isaiah 53. And 1 Peter 2. Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled. Now, people have come to Jesus. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and she was completely healed, just like that, from a fever, a high fever. What most people agree with it. It was some kind of a fever that she had. She was laying down. She couldn't do anything. Jesus came in and healed her. So she got up and started waiting on the people, and probably sometime during that evening, she slipped out and began telling people what had happened. Because it said that later in verse 16 that all these people came bringing the demon-possessed, people that were sick, afflicted, and so on and so forth. And then it says in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now you go back to Isaiah 53, that's where he got this. And he's quoting it. Isaiah 53 has to do with the crucifixion of the Messiah. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes. Griefs is defined, if you want to make a note in your margin, the sicknesses and diseases. That's what the word grief there means. And carried our sorrows is the word for pains. Yes. He carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him, or was said like this, yet we did consider him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, the way you see the people there at the cross in the Gospels when they were there watching Jesus be crucified, they were saying, God is putting his judgment on him for what he has said and done. They were looking at it from the perspective of, he's a sinner, and this is God's judgment. But here it says, surely he's borne my griefs, my diseases, and carried my pains. Yet we esteemed him. We considered him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now come down to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own, now this is Peter looking back at the cross. Later on in his life, he's looking back now. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the cross, on the tree, that we being dead to sins because he died with our sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Put that instead of ye, put me, I. By whose stripes I was healed. Now there's a two-fold purpose for these lessons. Number one, to establish the scriptural fact that divine healing is for our physical body belongs to us. And to help those who need healing get healed. Amen. Okay? Secondly, to help those who have been healed stay healed. Because it's one thing to receive something from God, and it's another thing to maintain it. Yeah. Or let's say it like this. It's one thing to get it, but now you've got to keep it. You say, what? What do you mean keep it? Who's going to take it from me? Jesus, talking in John 10:10, he makes a statement, and really that is the dividing line between the New Testament and the Old Testament. He's prophesying here, basically. He's talking to these people, and he says, the thief comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. Now you say, steal, kill, and destroy. That's three things. No, it really is not. If you meditate on it and you look at it, he comes to steal my health. He comes to steal my finances. He comes to steal my goods. He comes to steal whatever. He comes to kill relationships. He comes to kill people, to destroy your health. Steal, kill, destroy relationships, destroy families, destroy in whatever avenue you want to put it in. That's not God. Now, there's a really nice song. I love the melody. I love it till it hits this one point. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sounds really nice. Has a real catchy tune. But it's a lie. You say, what? No, that's in the Bible. Who said it? Tell me who said it. Job. You go back to the beginning of that chapter and find out the background. It was the devil that came to God saying, this and this and this. God didn't take anything. He's not an Indian giver, if you will. You understand that idiom, that expression? You know, my relatives when I was growing up said, "You're just so mean." Saying that to me, you know, I was not a person that wanted to be pressed into their mold. I didn't want to be conformed to what they said I should be. And so because I didn't yield, they said, "You're just so mean." No, I'm not mean. I just don't want to play your game. But in a sense, you need to be mean when the devil comes around. Take your authority and whip on his head. Don't just yield and roll over and say, "Well, it's the Lord trying to teach me something." No. He teaches you with his word and through his spirit. He does not put anything on you that is destructive. Does not. That's not in his inventory. Now, in our first text, this Matthew here is quoting from Isaiah, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took that up on himself. That is under the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. He became the curse for us at the cross. He bore it. You know, he came and he took this and that from us. He took all that stuff from us and he bore the curse. He bore judgment upon the cross. And these things were his. Judgment fell on him for us. In other words, he was there under our name, bearing our judgment. The second text, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And this is a King James rendering. And if you've got a good study Bible, in the margin or in the side column, there's a note that says they point out that there's a more accurate translation for the original Hebrew. You know, you can find the same words over in Matthew that were there taken from Isaiah, and the words there in Matthew are disease and pains. Yeah. Some of the newer translations may have those things there. And after, you know, after I read that, I saw that he took that for me. The judgment fell on him for me. He took those things, and I thought, you know, well, there's not any need for him to bear it and for me to bear it too. Amen. He took it already, so I don't need it. I don't receive it. Now, let me stop right here. This is one of those things that really spoke to Lydia and I when we first came over into the Word of Faith. You'll find that a lot of people open the door ignorantly by their words. Well, my arthritis is just really, you know. We went down to Texas to be with my family for my sister's funeral. And I saw nephews and nieces that I had not seen for years. And my sister, my oldest sister, was 18 when I was born. My next sister was 16. And then I come along. And so I've got a niece that's 1 year younger than me. And less than a year. And then the next nephew is like two years difference. And then it just kind of goes, you know, I mean, well, she was popping them out like every year or so. Five kids, bang, bang, bang. And so this one nephew, he had had two knee replacements. And I mean, just to hear him go on about this, he's talking about the pains and the my this and my that. You know, how many people have you ever heard, my arthritis is... Well, then you need to get saved so it's not yours anymore. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to make fun or be smart. I'm trying to get you to see something. When you're born again, the Word says we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We have been delivered by the blood. We have been delivered from the curse. So if you're delivered, why would you talk as though you have still embraced those things, that you have still taken ownership of something that Jesus died on the cross for so that you would be free? You might as well cuss. You might as well take the Lord's name in vain when you start saying, I've got arthritis. I've got the blood of... That's an insult to the blood of Jesus. Think about that. You know, a lot of people won't embrace that kind of vocabulary because it makes them look odd. You understand? Yeah. It's like taking a white marble, putting it in a plate full of black marbles, and you stand out. Yes. That white one stands out. I would rather stand out and be healed and free than be like the rest of those marbles. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Those things are not yours, not legally, as a born-again child of God. And while we're on it, you know, you need to learn to slap your jaws. I'm serious. You've seen me go like that? You need to do that once in a while when you start saying some things. You got to stop it at home so that you don't do it out in public. Anyway. Okay. You know, if you take that kind of an attitude, well, this is not mine, so why would I talk like this? I'm taking a cold. I must be taking the flu. You know, I got a hold of divine healing, I would get a cold and it would last, you know, most people say, well, it lasts a couple of days. I would have it for a week at least, if not two. Yeah. You know, walking around, blowing my nose. And after I got hold of healing, when I would sneeze, I said, no, I am not taking that. I am not taking, no. People would say, well, it's the flu season. It may be for you, but I'm out of season. Anyway, so be one of those that refuses to take things that are not yours. The enemy comes along. Thank God he took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. You know, some preacher said, well, he did that all right, but we don't have healing in this life. We will enjoy that in the millennial reign. Now listen, some guy can have a doctorate, a PhD, you know, I mean, he can have a whole arm full of doctorates. But what is he saying? He can be a very charismatic person. What is he saying? This guy says, well, we don't have healing in this life. We'll enjoy it in the millennium. Think about that. Think about what he's saying. Think about the timeline. The rapture, the millennium, or maybe I should say rapture, millennium, since you're looking at it like that. When the rapture comes, what happens? We are caught up. We have a glorified body that quick. Incorruptible. That's what the word says. This corruptible will put on incorruptible. So he's saying we'll have this in the millennial. There's not going to be any sickness and disease in the millennial reign. During the millennial reign, the devil is going to be locked up. And all of his boys are going to be null and void. See, I mean, he can have a doctorate, but what is he saying? He wasn't reading the Word. So, when I heard this, I thought to myself, either he's wrong or God's wrong and Jesus is wrong. That only leaves one person, him. Why? Because we won't need healing during the millennium. We've got a glorified body and there's not going to be sickness anyway. Just plain and simple. No, we need healing for our body now. Right now. Because our body has not been redeemed. I know somebody got on me one time about, what? What do you mean my body's not been, my spirit's been redeemed, but God has put his seal on me, and when the rapture takes place, my body's going with me, or the dust that's left, and it'll be redeemed, glorified. This world is where sickness and disease is right now. Bless God, healing is for us in this life. Yes. In the third text, Peter is looking back at the crucifixion of Christ when he says, by whose stripes ye were. Think about that. You were back then. It's past tense. You were healed. Now, there was another supposed outstanding Bible exponent who said this. 1 Peter 2:24 doesn't mean physical healing. It refers to spiritual healing, by whose stripes you were healed spiritually. Take your Bible, go back to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Do you see any reference, any hint of spiritual healing in that verse? No, you don't. Well, if he had been reading the Bible, he should have known that, sinners, listen close, sinners do not get healed spiritually. The human spirit of the lost man or woman is not healed. It's reborn. Let me read this to you. Ezekiel 11. This is just one of the references. I didn't want to bring up a bunch of them. Ezekiel 11, verse 19, out of the Amplified. And I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. He said a new spirit, not a refurbished. You know, you can go online and go to Amazon, and there's some things that if you watch real close in the description, at the end it may say in brackets, refurbished. That means it came back not working, and somebody worked on it and fixed it, and now it works. Now it works, but it's not brand new. He says he'll put within us, a new spirit, and I will take the stony, the unnaturally hardened heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of God. That person becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yes. Old things are passed away. All. A-L-L-L-L-L-L. All things become new. So 1 Peter 2:24 is not a reference to spiritual healing. You know, if you stop and think about it, there's no such thing as spiritual healing in the Bible. Do you know that? I've heard so many people talk about this as a progressive thing. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where things are progressive. And, you know, Mark 16 talks about they shall be healed. In other words, they're beginning that process of healing physically. Not spiritually. The concept of spiritual healing came about when a psychologist got saved and filled with the Spirit. He was saved, genuinely saved. He was filled with the Spirit, but he tried to mix psychology and the Word. He tried to take what he knew and mix it with what God knew. They were, you know. So you can see, when your body gets healed, you just have a healing. You've just been healed of a disease. Yes. Now listen real close. You've still got the same body, but that you had before. But before you had that disease. Okay. If your spirit is healed, you still have the same spirit. It's just healed now. Now listen. We're talking about a body. If it got healed, you've still got the same body as before. It's just healed. If your spirit got healed, you just have a healed spirit. But it's still lost. It's not regenerated. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new new. Brand new. Right out of the box. Still smell like fresh leather or whatever. New. New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not half of them, all of them. Every bit of them. Now, in only one sense of the word could divine healing be called spiritual healing. Follow me closely. Our body is healed by God, and He is a spirit. So divine healing is the Spirit's healing us, or spiritual healing. We're not talking about the healing of the human spirit, okay? That's not what we're saying. To put it another way, divine healing is not being healed spiritually. But it is spiritual because it's being healed by the power of God. You with me? In ministering the healing power of God, I have laid hands on people, and the power of God will go into them, and it comes back to me. Why? You say, what? Get really quiet here. They didn't take hold of it. Usually because they were trying to receive with their mind. Divine healing is not mental. You cannot contact God with your mind. He is not a mind. He is a spirit. So healing, divine healing, God's kind of healing is not mental. It's not Christian Science. It's not unity. It's not one of the other metaphysical teachings that claim this. Neither is it just physical, as medical doctors would say. When God heals, He heals you physically, but it's through the human spirit. You know, this is why I started off saying that you really gotta take time to think on these things, because we're so mental oriented in everything in the earth, and we come over in the kingdom of God, and God says, now we need to make some changes. You're gonna have to shift from the natural to the spiritual. The reason He does it this way is because He heals you through faith. Hello? Yeah. Through faith, and faith is of the heart. Yeah. You know, I've seen it time and time again when people are trying to contact God with their mind, they're trying to get healed through their mind. When they finally stop that, and start believing in their heart, then they get healed all instantly.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Romans 10:10. For with the heart, the spirit, man believes unto righteousness. Yeah. So God contacts you through your spirit, not through your mind.
Amen.
Not through your body.
Amen.
Because He's a spirit. And I'm going to stop right there. I want you to take, because I can see the way some of you're thinking. So I'll stop here. But before we go, I want to leave this with you. Mark 4:24, out of the Amplified, and he said to them, "Be careful what you're hearing." You see, what you're hearing is what you think on. Be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give, not the pastor, you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue or power and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Let me read this to you from the Passion Translation. Then he said to them, "Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given you. And according to your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose those things they already have." Take the time to go over what we've just read. Go back to the podcast and listen to it again. Because these things are going to, they're going to come, become more and more important to you as the days pass. Okay? Let's all stand. If you have pain in your body, I want you to come up here. I want to pray for you. Come here. You. Well, what's up?
About a month ago, I started getting pain in this elbow, and it's in the muscles too. It's not just the joint, it's in the muscle.
Father, I lay my hands on my sister right now, and I speak to that pain. You have no right to be in this body, and I command you to leave now. Go in the name of Jesus. We speak the blood over this body. We thank you for the results, Father, that belong to us. Now, what? What? All right, I'm giving you one. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. What is your confession? Father, I thank you. This pain goes now. Now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Careful. Don't let the symptoms come back. It's like a stray dog you fed one time and it keeps coming back for more. Don't let it. The name of Jesus will take care of you. Stay there. Father, the Lord Jesus bore all of our sicknesses and diseases at the cross, and we are healed. I thank you for that healing virtue flowing into this arm now. In Jesus' name. Now lift your arm. Do it. Okay, you stand here and keep doing that. Yes, sir. Chest. Right here. And knee pain. Father, we thank you that this thing dissolves and leaves this body now. In the name of Jesus, we're free by the blood. All right, Doc, come here. What's the matter with the knee? You have pain now. Father, we thank you. the restoration of this knee. Thank you for the cartilage. He has an abundance of cartilage in this knee, and it works perfectly, free of all pain, in Jesus' name. I want to hear back about the doohickey that left. Father, we speak peace. Peace to this, all these muscles. Everything that is back there, we speak peace. And we speak to that headache in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no right to be in this, child of God. We command you to leave now. How much do I want to keep this? You know, I thought I had things taken care of, and I came home from the military, and my mother just knows how to push that button. And I would get mad. And through the years, I've had to work on that. And, you know, and I've learned I would rather have peace and health as opposed to having my way, to having my ability to express myself. What good does that do? You know, after you've done that, people go away and they don't even remember things. It's not worth it. Okay? So I'm going to put my hand back here, and I'm going to look to you to keep it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lay my hands on this body and I speak to this back, straighten up. I speak to all these bones, straighten up in the name of Jesus. I command you be made straight. Father, I thank you. That anointing is in him, working in him now. We give glory to you for what you're doing, that he's redeemed and he is enjoying his redemption in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Does anybody have, you need to be healed of something? I said, anybody that has pain. Lydia's saying, anybody that needs something else. Anybody? Jesus, we command you to be gone from this body, and we speak to that body, come in line now in the name of Jesus. You know, one thing that just about every guest speaker that has prayed for people has made this one statement. They've said, you know, your people are so good. They stick with you. They stick with you. In other words, there's a lot of people, they don't need to be healed, so they're out the door. They're gonna beat the traffic, you know. We appreciate that. We do. We very much appreciate that because, you know, if you were up here and you needed healing, you would want all the support you can get. Amen? Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for confirming your word with signs following. We give glory to you. We magnify you. And we thank you that you are the healer. You are the life giver.
Yes, you
and
are.
We exalt you.
Yes.
We magnify you most
yes.
high. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Turn and greet somebody around you, and you're dismissed.